relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
That was the soundtrack of a gruesome video that was taken by someone with their phone inside Congress yesterday afternoon. It shows an unarmed woman draped in a Trump flag, a 14-year veteran with multiple tours of the United States Air Force, who was shot once through a door by a Capitol Police plainclothes officer, shot in the neck, who died after that one shot entered her body. Her name was Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed U.S. Air Force veteran. Yesterday, the physical security of Congress was breached as the representatives and senators were assembled for a joint session to finally count the Electoral College votes and to certify them. Hundreds of protesters somehow managed to gain entry and overpower both the Capitol Police, numbering 1,700 officers, as well as Washington's Metropolitan Police Force, make it past security checkpoints and all the way to the floor of the debating chamber. Most tragically, one of them, Ashley Babbitt, was shot and killed inside the halls of Congress. In the hours since then, the representatives and senators reconvened, and the debate on certifying the presidential election was resumed and completed 11 hours ago, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris declared the victory, the victors of the November election. The media incessantly, as well as several senators, including quote-unquote Republicans like Mitt Romney, have breathlessly described the afternoon's events as an insurrection. Now, first things first, let us be clear. The historic events of January the 6th, 2021, are tragic in several ways. And while the Congress is really the people's house, those who entered it illegally and caused physical damage to the building should face the requisite legal consequences. But in no way, shape, or form was it an insurrection. I spent nigh on a decade studying and teaching irregular warfare and counterterrorism for the U.S. military. I taught how to analyze international and domestic insurrections. And I can assure you, never in the span of human history has a group of unarmed civilians executed an insurrection. Never. So what did happen yesterday? And what does it mean for America going forward? First, the context. Yesterday's shocking scenes cannot be analyzed in a vacuum. They are not sui generis outliers. They come after 10 months of violence across America. Violence done in the name of something called social justice, which left myriad businesses and federal offices looted, vandalized, and burnt. Which left 700 law enforcement officers wounded, with close to $2 billion worth of damage done to our country, and 30 Americans dead, many of them black. None of those assaults on the fabric of our nation, none of those murders, even that of a retired police captain, a black police captain called David Dorn, were couched in the catastrophic terms that are being used by the media and national political class today. On the contrary, as long as the post-George Floyd violence was associated with left-wing causes such as Black Lives Matter, it was all excused and at times even lauded by the political leaders of our country and the legacy media. In fact, the man who became the presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, Joseph Robinette Biden, and who told the nation that he is, quote, the Democrat Party now, refused to condemn the months and months of violence from Seattle to Washington, D.C., until the very end of August, at which point it was suddenly deemed a liability to his political aspirations. This, of course, is not surprising, given the other political voices of the last 4 years. We will play them for you today. From Maxine Waters calling for the public harassment of Trump supporters to Obama's attorney general declaring that when the left's opponents are down, that's when you kick them. These are the precursors that created the permissive environment where just this week, Senator Josh Hawley's wife and newborn child were terrorized by Antifa at home while the senator was away on business. For far too long, one side has excused and even normalized violence in our nation, and it hasn't been conservatives. Where will we go from here? What next? First, we must identify those that broke the law yesterday and find out if they were actually supporters of the president. Whether or not they were members of the MAGA movement or provocateurs, as one law enforcement source has already stated, they must all face justice. At the same time, heads must politically roll for the catastrophic failure of federal and DC law enforcement to secure Congress from unarmed civilians. And likewise, there must be severe consequences for the officer who shot and killed Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt. That is all we know about the events of the last 24 hours. But we will provide you the truth. We will provide you the corroborated information and a path forward. Because as conservatives, as patriots, there is one thing we never do, and that is surrender. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from just outside the swamp that is Washington, D.C. For this violence? Where is the normalization of it politically? That was 3 years ago. That was Maxine Waters, establishment Democrat from California, telling her audience, her supporters, to harass publicly any member of the Trump administration. I can't think when a Republican did that. But it's rhino territory when they say that conservative supporters of the president should be dealt with. This is video cut one. Michael Steele, formerly of the RNC, talking about those senators who supported the question that the president raised about the last election. Play cut one.
We should show that day. And we should remind the American people that these are the individuals who caused yesterday to happen. Josh, that now infamous photo of Josh Hawley with his fist raised saluting the crowd. Baby, this is on you. You had a hand in what happened yesterday in the Capitol. You may wear the lapel pin of a United States congressman, but you're no better than a thug right now.
No better than a thug. I know somebody who will have some clear-sighted analysis of the political ramifications of yesterday's event, because he is Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website there is. His name is Matthew Boyle, and that website is Breitbart.com. Happy New Year, Matt Boyle.
Dr. Gorka, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you too, sir.
So expectations, the president's office, the president made a statement through his assistant, Dan Scavino, 11 hours ago. Even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January the 20th. I have always said we would continue our fight. There will be a President Biden. There will be a Vice President Harris. What are your near-term and long-term expectations for the Republican Party after yesterday, Matt?
Well, there needs to be a serious deep dive into how this happened, right? Like, so there's been all sorts of different rumors and reports that, you know, there may have been Antifa folks mixed in with Trump supporters and so on and so forth. And that may well very be the truth, right? But at the end of the day, Trump supporters were in that crowd that came into the Capitol, you know, in a way that was uncalled for. They broke windows. They got in. I don't know who did what, and all of that stuff is going to be figured out. And there needs to be the full force of law and consequences for that. Our side does not fight with police officers, and we do not engage in violence. This was atrocious what we saw at the U.S. Capitol yesterday. I think that Senator Cotton said it right when he came out and said that, just like when he called for the National Guard to send in the troops in response to the riots this summer, this past summer with the BLM riots that we saw. He said the same kind of thing needs to happen here, and we need the full force of law needs to be met with all people that broke the law at the U.S. Capitol yesterday, no matter who they are. In addition to that, our movement needs to understand that this was a mistake. It was a mistake for people that went into the Capitol and did this. Now, at the same time, there's a lot of people that didn't break the law yesterday that were peacefully protesting out there in Washington, whether they were at the Ellipses or Freedom Plaza in the past couple of days, or whether they were at the outside the Capitol. And that's a sacred right of Americans to peacefully protest and assemble. They should be protected and cherished and praised. And so, but lawbreakers need to be held accountable. And what we saw on TV was a really bad image. Now, at the same time, while I think that people like Michael Steele, whose clip you can be disingenuous about Senators Hawley and Cruz and the other senators who had said they were going to challenge the Electoral College, and I know that the ultimate numbers of senators changed after they saw the events of what happened with the frankly, let's call them what they were. It was a riot at the Capitol. That changed throughout the day. This effort was doomed to fail from the outset. If you look at the Breitbart reporting on this in the lead up to it, we knew that regardless of the merits of whether or not you believe that there should be a challenge to the Electoral College, or whether you believe Congress should be involved in that, and there's a lot of conservatives who think that Congress is not the place to settle Electoral College challenges, that the courts are and the states are. That's what Rand Paul believes. That's what Tom Cotton believes. There are plenty of other senators, and there's good, decent senators on the other side of this, like Cruz, Hawley, et cetera. That being said, they knew when they started this, they didn't have the votes to begin with. So you can't even have an argument about the merits of whether or not this is the right pathway to challenge an election, that there were clearly irregularities and fraud and all sorts of things that happened in November. This is not the avenue for that because you don't even have the votes to begin with. So you can't even have that argument about the merits on this until if you don't have the votes. And they never had the votes. They never had a chance to have the votes because the Democrats control the House of Representatives. And you saw that happen last night when the House of Representatives dismissed the two states that there was a senator joining House members on the challenge. That was Arizona and Pennsylvania. They were going to do more. But then after the incidents earlier in the day that forced Congress to take a recess until later in the evening and re-begin the proceedings, they called off challenges to Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, so on and so forth. But the point here is that they never had the votes to begin with. So it was always a process that was doomed to fail. And because of that, the senators – did this, I think they're going to face a lot of criticism for this. I think that Ted Cruz is going to face a lot of criticism for this. I think that Josh Hawley is too. Now, again, there are also people in the political establishment who are anti-Trump, who are anti-conservative, like Michael Steele that you played there, like people on the Democrat side of the aisle, who are jumping at the opportunity here to try to demolish what it is that the president stands for. and his beliefs. Now, at the end of the day, I do also believe that everything that the president has brought to the Republican Party will long succeed.
I think you're right. But before we go off on a tangent, let me just react in the last few seconds we have. It's interesting you say that it was doomed to failure and perhaps we shouldn't have done it because we didn't have the votes. But it's strange. Did that stop the Democrats from impeaching the president of the United States in the lower house and then trying to impeach him in the Senate? They didn't have the votes. Why did they do that? And why should we surrender the truth to the process just because a question of mathematics? We will continue. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Thank you, Matt Boyle. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Carr Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment of America First. Carr, K-A-H-R, from Magnum Research, the guys that brought you the Desert Eagle and Auto Ordnance, the modern Tommy Gun. Together, they make up the Carr Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. Check them out today, K-A-H-R.com. That's K-A-H-R.com. We are back. We are going to remind you which side normalized violence over the last 4 years. The second highest police officer, law enforcement official in the land after the president is always the incumbent attorney general. Under President Obama, that man was Eric Holder. This is what Eric Holder said about those you politically disagree with. Audio cut 12.
It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know, she and my wife, like, really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go up. No, no. When they go low, we kick them.
When they go low, we kick them. That's the side that's normalized violence. What about the president's attorney general, Bill Barr? After yesterday's events, he said that the president had betrayed his office. I have a message for you, William Barr. If you had actually done your job, we probably would not have seen violence on Capitol Hill. We don't know yet. We have one law enforcement officer who has stated anonymously to the Washington Times that two of the individuals who were ringleaders in yesterday's violence are known Antifa individuals, meaning law enforcement has identified them in the past as Antifa. We haven't had that corroborated. We need to know who did what yesterday and what their true political identity is And whatever it is, they must be charged and prosecuted. Now, for Antifa, it makes sense. Utterly makes sense to try and create an event to besmirch on a national and international level the MAGA movement and the legacy of Donald Trump, the 45th president. If it really was just MAGA, just Trump supporters, would yesterday's storming of Congress by unarmed civilians, one of whom was shot and killed, her name is Ashley Babbitt, remember it, friends. If William Barr had gotten to the bottom of the Russia collusion hoax, the most dastardly political conspiracy in modern American history, and charged just one of its key actors, do you think we would have the level of disillusionment, disenfranchisement, just rank bitterness amongst so many who call themselves conservatives? I put it to you, William Barr, you professional and moral failure, that if you had just partially done your job, Congress would not have been breached, and Ashley Babbitt would be alive today and back with her children and her loving husband. That's really the definition of the swamp, where William Barr cares more for his future reputation, his multi-million dollar contracts and sinecures, than he cares for the truth. Well, Mr. Barr, for you are now forever Mr. Barr, we here are committed to the truth. We have a full call board. We will get to your calls. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president. This is America First, coming to you live from just outside the cesspit that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that works. How do I know that? Because I have lived it now for more than 2 years, like Reggie from Florida. This is Reggie. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. That could be you. Find out if Relief Factor is the answer to your liberation from pain. Call 800-500-8384 and order the 3-week quick starter pack right now. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And by the end of those 3 weeks, I guarantee it. I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. ReliefFactor.com. What have you got to lose? Do it now. You know it makes sense. ReliefFactor.com.
Talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And if they tell you that, well, we're not sure where he stands on guns, I want you to say he believes in the Second Amendment. If they tell you, well, he's going to raise your taxes, you say, no, he's not. He's going to lower them. You are my ambassadors.
What do you mean they're supposed to lie on your behalf? Barack Obama believed in the Second Amendment? That was president. Did you hear what he said? If your neighbors are Republicans or independents, I think he actually said it just before Thanksgiving weekend. He said, get in their face. That's the left. These are the voices at the highest level who are normalizing violence, harassment, intimidation. If it's done in the name of social justice, whatever that means, it's fine. Burning down somebody's shop they've spent 20 years building up? Fine! Firebombing the church where every president since Lincoln has prayed before Inauguration Day? Fine! Oh, but going into Congress after you think that the election has been stolen? Oh, no, that is the greatest political disaster in American history, and it's an insurrection. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Victor, good friend of the show, Line 3. Happy New Year, Victor.
Hey, Sebastian. There, I just swallowed my relief factor there.
Good man.
Yeah, if you can do it on the air, so can I.
Yeah, but he does that crinkly thing with the bag. It's very annoying. Like you this. Don't do that.
Okay, listen. A neighbor got on my face the other day. She was telling me that I shouldn't listen to you and Chris Plant and other talk show hosts. And
Chris is great.
Yeah, I know. I can't get on his show, though.
Why? He takes calls.
I'm on hold for like two hours, three hours, and he never gets to me.
I'll have words with Chris. Well, I'll have words with Chris.
Yeah, say the one and only Victor would like to talk to him. Anyhow, so this neighbor gets in my face about listening to you and all these other talk shows, and she says, now that we have the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we're going to do something about that. And I said, what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to bring back the fairness doctrine so you guys can't have your talk shows anymore. So I guess my question is, how do we protect our freedom of speech by listening to talk shows such as yours?
Well, look, I've personally always said that for me, talk radio is the most influential, the most important source of information that I've used since I was a child. So it's not just my livelihood. It's not just what we do here at Salem, which is provide the truth over the air from 6 a.m. all the way into the wee hours of the night. But I think in today's world, there are many different ways of getting your information. I don't know about you, Victor, but
for me, it's just radio.
Yeah, I know you have special circumstances, and for you, radio is a lifeline. But look, I said to somebody who's listening to the show right now, a wife of a very good friend, and I've said this a lot, actually, in the last few days to people who've been sending me texts and who've been DMing me since Georgia and since November the 3rd. And I really believe it. And I don't want them to take it personally. I wanted to jolt them, Victor. What I say is, despair is un-American. And those who dwell on worst-case scenarios, those who give up and say, that's it, the Republic is gone, I have one thing to say to you. 1776. So, Victor, hold the line. God bless. Let's go to Judy, another good friend of the show. Lovely purveyor of sweet cakes. Line 2.
Is John around? Don't tell John you took my call, okay?
John.
Hello?
Oh, he's not around.
Don't
it's
tell
okay.
John.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I decided they should make a doll out of you, Dr. Gorka, talking, walking doll. You are a punk. You know, stuff like that, you know.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Really be great.
You're just a punk.
Yes.
I like that. That's good.
Yes. Or you sing the national anthem, things like that. You're very patriotic, the whole spiel, you know, whole thing. What should I tell you? Dr. Gorka, listen, I am very, very upset, okay? I can't even tell you. So I'm thinking to myself, how do you fight back? I mean, when you have lawbreakers, how do you fight back when you have lawbreakers that are not held accountable, like Hillary, Obama, Biden, Comey, the whole DOJ upper echelon, the FBI, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole thing? How do you fight back, Dr. Gorka, when you have so much overwhelming evidence of the election fraud, like overwhelming, yeah, and yet you have every single judge in every single court, including the Supreme Court, that didn't even allow this hearing to be heard when it's the most important thing, the most sacred thing, your presidential election? And Dr. Gorka, how do you fight back when you have Dominion machines, mail-in ballots galore, no signature necessary, no ID, no transparency? How do you fight back?
Well, okay? Let me answer.
And then you want to ask us not to be frustrated? And by the way, Dr.
Hang on, Judy. Stop right there. I didn't for a second say you can't be frustrated. You can be frustrated. You can be angry. What I don't want to hear from anybody listening to this show is that they've given up and that they're despairing. Come on, guys. Did the founding fathers despair? Did we despair after Pearl Harbor, after 9/11? Of course not. So here's my answer to you. It's a great question. What do we do? What do we do? It's going to shock you, given what I do for a living and how informed all of you listeners and great callers are. What happens in D.C. is really relevant to a kind of lesser or greater degree. Most Americans aren't obsessed with politics the way we are. What really matters in America is what matters locally, in your town, in your county, in your village. And if you want to change, if you want to win back our republic, get busy locally. Soros was smart when he created or funded the Secretary of State project to fund the elections of secretaries of state and then to fund radical DAs and prosecutors. He was doing something smart. It's time for us to learn. You want to save the republic? Get busy. Run for the local school board. Get involved locally, because that's how we take our republic back peacefully. I'm Sebastian Gorka. More of your great calls here on America First from ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in pain? Has nothing else worked? You've got to try this drug-free remedy that has provided me liberation from pain for 2 years now. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. Call them now. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Did you catch our great interview from Trump Hotel with the great Mike Lindell yesterday? We were there in the front row listening to the president at the Save America rally. If you missed it, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, look for America First, Sebastian Gorka, hit the notifications bell twice and you'll never miss a thing. America First, Sebastian Gorka YouTube. And we are on Rumble. Just look for my name. We are also on the, what shall we call it? The YouTube alternative? Yes, check it out. Our backup site is on Rumble as well. And also, if you want to support this show, if you like it, use the massive deal from Mike that we got 60% off his products if you use my name at MyPillow.com, including the incredible MyPillow. Not $69.98, $29.98 if you use my name. Call 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's go to JR in Columbus, Ohio, line 5. Welcome back, JR.
Hey, Dr. G. Your book, Why We Fight, has never made more sense to me than in the last 24 hours. And I reread some of it last night. But the reason I called is, if I took 200 people up the Capitol steps that were all unarmed and breached the building, to me, there's only two possibilities, and I'm not a conspiracy person at all, but either they had stand-down orders or it was a complete failure of protection.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
No, I completely agree, and it was an incredible fortuitous turn of events that yesterday we had Joe DiGenova and Victoria Tansing in the studio for 2 hours, because I didn't even know that whilst he may have ended up as U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C., Joe DiGenova was chief counsel on the Rules Committee of Congress, which meant he was responsible for coordinating the protection of Congress and working with MPD and with Capitol Police. And he used the phrase, and I think we titled the segment thusly, we said, catastrophic failure. Yes, it was a catastrophic failure. We don't know why yet. Just moments ago, Nancy Pelosi has announced that she has fired the sergeant at arms. So the person who is responsible inside Congress for its security is gone. He has ceased to fill that position. But look, there is remarkable video, JR. And you know me, I destroy conspiracy theorists when they come on this show. But there is video of Capitol Police officers, I believe it's Capitol Police officers, not MPD, opening the barriers to small groups of protesters yesterday. Not because they were having or throwing things, but literally opening the way for these people to get in. And I've been to Congress. There's a security checkpoint at every civilian entrance. How do they just get in with no weapons? Very strange. One man's firing is not enough. Stay tuned. Back with your calls, Neil, Adam, David, Tony. Don't go anywhere. This is America First, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka.